The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, July 11th, 2016. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 111th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. This is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast, no more than 10 minutes tops, of Bard-related news. Plus, we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what were the past 7 days of the year. This week's news stories included: PBS finally announced the play dates for The Hollow Crown Part 2, the conglomeration of the Henry VIs and Richard III. Downside, we have to wait until December. Upside, Cumberbatch's Richard is a Christmas present. Really, PBS? The Spectrum ran a piece on the new exhibit at the Sherratt Library on the campus of Southern Utah University, titled Willie the Kid, Shakespeare in the Wild West, about how Shakespeare was the most popular playwright on the Western frontier. The BBC ran a piece citing the parallels between Richard III and the current political moment on the occasion of Ralph Fiennes' portrayal at the Almeida Theatre in London. Jackson Hole News and Guide ran a piece on the production of The Taming of the Shrew, which ended its run this weekend in Wyoming, a production that featured a 1980s punks versus preps setting. WDRB in Louisville, Kentucky ran a piece on local veterans working through their emotions regarding their time at war through reading and performing Shakespeare. The Record ran a piece on Driftwood Theater's traveling troupe and what they're calling the Bard's Bus with The Taming of the Shrew. The Bard's Bus goes out every year with a new play in Ontario, Canada. Mountain Express ran a story on Montford Park Players' current production of Titus Andronicus, running through the end of the month in Asheville, North Carolina. The San Juan Journal previewed the upcoming production of Romeo and Juliet by Island Stage Left in Washington State beginning this week. Knoxville News previewed the upcoming productions of King Lear and the Merry Wives of Windsor for Shakespeare in the Square by Tennessee Stage Company, running through the end of the month in Knoxville, Tennessee. Broadway World previewed the upcoming production of The Winter's Tale by Actors Theatre of Columbus in Columbus, Ohio. Stage Raw reviewed Richard III by Independent Shakespeare Company, running through July 24th in Los Angeles's Griffith Park, recommending it highly, and I'm looking forward to it. We're going to go see it next week. The San Jose Mercury News reviewed The Winter's Tale by San Francisco Shakespeare Festival, running through October 2nd in various parks in the San Francisco, California area, calling the production downright refreshing. The Wall Street Journal reviewed Measure for Measure by Hudson Valley Shakespeare Festival, running through August 28th in Garrison, New York, calling the production successful and excellent. The Post Bulletin reviewed Julius Caesar by Great River Shakespeare Festival, running in repertory through the end of the month in Winona, Minnesota, calling the production powerful. And finally, the Ventura County Star, my local paper, reviewed Henry V by Kingsman Shakespeare Company, which ended this weekend. A positive review, and I concur completely. Now let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history in his plays. On July 5th, 1321, Joan of the Tower was born, the daughter of Edward I and Isabella of France, and sister of the future Edward III. She would later marry David II of Scotland. On July 6th, 1483, Richard III was crowned in Westminster Abbey. 2 weeks earlier, his brother Edward's marriage was declared invalid and thus his children bastards, leading to Richard's ascension. On the same day in 1535, Thomas More was executed for high treason under Henry VIII. Henry wasn't all bad, though. He downgraded More's death from hanging, drawing, and quartering to a simple beheading. On July 7, 1307, Edward I died of dysentery. He was the father of Edward II, son of Henry III, and the grandson of King John. On July 8, 2090, Princess Margaret, daughter of Edward I, remember yesterday, married John II of Brabant. On July 9th, 1540, Henry VIII's marriage to Anne of Cleves, his fourth wife, was annulled after only 6 months of marriage on the ground of non-consummation and the fact that she had been betrothed to Francis of Lorraine at the age of 11. 3 weeks later, he would marry Catherine Howard. On July 10th, 1460, Henry VI was captured by Yorkist forces at the Battle of Northampton, a major battle in the War of the Roses. According to some, Henry had a nervous breakdown around this time, and when he was returned to London, Parliament passed the Acts of Accord, which named Richard of York Henry's successor. On July 11, 1989, famed Shakespearean actor Laurence Olivier died. Olivier had acted on both the stage and screen, and on the latter he starred and directed classic film versions of Henry V, Hamlet, and Richard III in the 1940s and 50s. And that was your Week in Shakespeare. You've been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending July 11th, 2016. For our blog and previous TWIZ episodes, including links to the news stories we've covered, as well as the Real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we'll catch you next week.